You're listening to the Brooklyn Power Trip.
Yo, it's your boy RJ the Brooklyn Savage, and I am here with a solo report, just going through some stuff, some news and some tidbits that happened this week. Let's get to Raw though. I thought Raw was decent. It's a nice little build to WrestleMania. Yeah, Becky and Rhea cut the little promo, catchphrase city. If this is all this is gonna be, like it was last year for Rhea and Charlotte, they could shove it. They need to give me some spice going into the match this year. I already know the match is going to be good. The match is going to be good. I know that. But give me something good between these two women, because I know they're capable of doing it. Give me some good substance. Give me some meat on the bone before they have their match. But when the promo was done, Nia took an attack Becky, which led to some other stuff later on. Sami Zayn beat Shinsuke Nakamura, getting his revenge from a couple weeks ago. They added another good match to their collection of great matches. Shinsuke Nakamura, let me tell you something. Sami Zayn is probably one of his better opponents since he made the jump from New Japan. Him and Sami don't miss a beat. Whereas Nakamura's had some hit and misses with other people. He hadn't had one with Sami Zayn yet. They all have been hits. So, yeah, good match. Raquel Rodriguez came out and killed Chelsea Green. Chelsea Green got a little bit of mic time, which I like that, because it feels like nobody really gets a lot of live mic time except for like top guys and top girls. So I thought this was fine letting her go out there and talk for a sec, but she got killed. Then JD, Judgment Day, had a little competition with Imperium. And, you know, Imperium, Gunther's all smiles, man. He's longest reigning Intercontinental Champion in history. He's all smiles. He's having a good time. I mean, it's crazy how crazy his demeanor has changed since from when he walked in the door. When he first walked into the door to now. It's crazy. See, the night and day evolution of Gunther is crazy. But JD as in Judgment Day, they want the Intercontinental Championship. And, you know, Gunther kind of laughed off Dom and JD, who, you know, JD has beaten Gunther before. But, you know, didn't happen in WWE, so it didn't happen at all, right? That's the mentality. But yeah, so Dominic, JD, or Damian Priest. It was even suggested that maybe Priest cashes in the money in a bank on Gunther, and I don't want that whatsoever. I think that's stupid if they do something like that. Completely stupid if they do something like that. I hope to God that's not the case, and that'd just be dumb. Just very dumb. But yeah, so Judgment Day, they want to add the Intercontinental Championship to their ranks. Fine, that's something. But onto other people that want a little chunk of Gunther. Now Chad Gable trying to pitch his case for an Intercontinental Championship match against Gunther. Like WrestleMania, you know, the last match they had, Gunther beat Gable, made his daughter cry, and that sat in the pit of Chad Gable's stomach for so long. And then, you know, he just wants a shot at Gunther. He wants a shot to make it right. So I like that. And then Sami Zayn, he's trying to find a way to WrestleMania, and Gunther is a chance that he can make history by being the guy who beats the guy who holds the Intercontinental Championship for a record-breaking amount of time. So that is history when you think about it. So you have a lot of guys pitching their case to face Gunther at WrestleMania. I like that. that makes the Intercontinental Championship and Gunther seem very sought after, which, if something's sought after by many people, it's deemed important. So, what do you say? New Day and Imperium had a damn good street fight. I thought for WWE standards and you know, how tame it is and stuff like that, I thought they had a damn good street fight. And New Day did their damnedest to make Imperium look good here. And they did. I thought it was a damn good street fight. And Kaiser and Vinci come out of it looking really, really good. The biggest win, the strongest performance of their main roster run so far. So, big ups to Woods and Kingston for making them look good. Zoe Stark and Shayna Baszler beat Indy Hartwell and Candice LeRae. I finally see what Monty's talking about, people. Monty's been talking about Indy and how she pulls back. And to be quite honest with you, when I watch Indy and Candice matches, it's just a breeze. But I wanted to see exactly what he was talking about. So I watched the pay-per-view match the other day. And I focused on Indy because I really wanted to see what he was talking about. Because he's talking about it, but a lot of people are talking about it. They just talk about how misused Indy and Candice are. So I wanted to watch. So I watched it. And not that I didn't believe Monty or anything like that, but I wanted to see exactly what he's seeing. And I saw it when she went to go give Io the boot the other day. And it just, not a lot of force. And then she hit her. She clubbed her in the back. Not Io, Kyrie, excuse me. And she just clubbed her, and it's like, what is that? It was bad. It was just bad. It was not forceful enough, especially for a girl her size. And it was some of that going on here, but not as bad. And the gist of it, Stark and Baszler beat Candice and Indy, and backstage though, which is really the story coming out of this match, is that Candice is tired of losing. So I don't know. That's something interesting there for me. Seth and Drew had their confrontation. Seth wants to unite the other big guns in the company to go against the Bloodline. But Drew McIntyre is tired of the Bloodline. Why are you worrying about the Bloodline? Quit worrying about the Bloodline. Let's focus on having the best WrestleMania matches we can as possible. So that's all Drew wants. And that's that. So the build to their match is, you know, on the way. So, not bad exchange between the two. Nia Jax beat Liv Morgan by disqualification when Becky Lynch attacked Nia Jax, getting her revenge from earlier. Hey, they're not trying to beat either Liv or Nia right now, so that's fine. I got no problems with that. And then afterwards, Liv got hot at Becky Lynch for costing her the match. Rightfully so. I would be pissed too if you cost me a match on the road to WrestleMania. You cost me a fucking match. So yeah, no, I don't blame Liv here for being upset at all. Then Waller and Theory had a little backstage segment where Paul Heyman was creeping around in the background. And pretty much Waller was like, he did everything he could to save Theory. And Theory had that look on his face like, motherfucker. So my question to you guys is, are we on route to seeing a Theory versus Waller match at WrestleMania? Because, I mean, they've had tension for a while now between Grayson Waller volunteering Austin Theory for matches and stuff like that. So it's not something that's been happening all of a sudden on Saturday. That's just another piece of what they've been doing for a while now. So I don't know. Are we going to do the breakup in time for Mania? I think that could be nice for these guys. And I think Austin Theory should be the babyface in this situation. The dude is going nowhere fast, which is crazy. But he's talented, whether you like him or not. He's talented. He's a guy that you think Triple H would love because he's a work-ready guy. And he's a body guy, too. So he's the best of both worlds. But for whatever reason, Theory underneath Triple H is just not a big focus. So I think maybe a babyface turn and a fresh change-up for Theory can be the best thing for him. And Waller and Theory as a feud, that could be some good shit, honestly. But Grayson Waller and Cody Rhodes had a match in the main event. Nothing really to it. I think they had like an 8-minute match. It seemed like it was like 8 minutes. And it just felt like it was a bunch of, I'm not going to say nothing, but nothing really popped off in this matchup. Cody wins. Paul Heyman came out with some suspended cops, which one was Buzz and the other one was like an indie wrestler. So like bootleg Shield coming out to size up Cody a little bit, and Cody's like, you know what? I'm done, you know, I'm hunting the bloodline from now on and shit like that. And he fucked up the security and he threw the he threw the chair, just launched it at the black guy's head, and that guy, he took a bad chair shot to the face, because his forehead was swollen. He took put a picture on X of it, and Cody got him good with that chair. And yeah, that was raw. They got a couple of weeks, so I'm not gonna kill them for at least Cody, for the stuff of Cody. But the stuff with Becky and Rhea, I need that to be better. I need that to be better because, just last year, like I said, last year's championship match for WrestleMania between Charlotte and Rhea, the build to it was very lackluster. I don't need that again this year. I need something on the bone. Like I said, we already know they're going to have a great match, okay? I don't doubt that whatsoever, but I just need some more meat on the bone to get to the match, especially if you want me to sit through all this shit. So yeah, that was Raw. I thought Raw was fine. Like I said, that the attention for Gunther and the Intercontinental Championship, I like that. Imperium and Street, I'm about to say Street Profits. Imperium and New Day having the street fight, I thought that was damn good. Some development with Indy and Candice, like that as well. You know, Liv is still in the back. Her and Nia Jax are still in the background, so I like that as well. And Seth and Drew, you know, there's not so much the physicality that Seth can do right now because he's in the midst of getting cleared. So there's not so much you can do with physicality, but I like these promos from Drew. Drew McIntyre is definitely some of the better stuff that's on Raw and WWE period today. So props off to Drew McIntyre for his work. He's doing some really good stuff. And I heard a rumor that he got re-signed, but then it was debunked, so I'm not quite sure what's going on with that. Other signing news, WWE apparently signed Tama Tonga. So that should be fine. I have no problems with that. I think Tama's in his early 40s. So that's the kind of downside to it. But so is a lot of the top guys in the WWE are in their 40s, so I don't know, but they can get some stuff out of him. I mean, he doesn't look like an older man per se. Maybe with the mohawk and the thinner beard, maybe he looks like an older man, but if he was to grow his hair back out a little bit and maybe get a full beard, maybe he can hide it. You know, because he doesn't look like, he doesn't have bags underneath his eyes, so facially he doesn't look that old and shit like that. But yeah, it'd be good to see what Tama Tonga does in WWE. He can cut a good promo. He turned himself into a pretty good wrestler in New Japan. So if he could bring, you know, some of that to the E, he'll be good to go. So yeah, that's pretty much it. Oh, and yeah, we got to get into this too, because I seen a video on Twitter yesterday. Maxxine Dupri got booed at the house show. One thing I'll say about Maxxine Dupri, very charismatic, very charming, somewhat over with the fans. But here lately, because of a couple of boo-boos she's been making in the ring, it's been common. Before the Rumble, during the Rumble, the match she had after the Rumble, she's been having a lot of boo-boos in that ring. And it's not helping the cause. But it's not her fault. It's not her fault. Maxxine Dupri was in NXT. She got signed around, what, between the time of 2021, 2022. She was on NXT for a brief spell, if anybody really remembers NXT 2.0, when she was Sophia Cromwell. And it looked like for a hot second that they were going to do a storyline where she eventually lured Von Wagner away from Robert Stone until she got called up to do the Maxxine Dupri stuff. And I questioned the move at the time, because I'm like, this girl just literally showed up on NXT television. Surely she's not ready for main event, you know, main roster stuff. But nah, they kept her out there. They did the maximum male model thing until Triple H got tired of it and fucking cut it loose. She fit in well with the Alpha Academy. She's been on TV ever since. Now, you know, for whatever reason, they've been throwing her in the ring, trying to get her to learn on the job, and it's not helping her any. It's not helping her any. As charismatic as she is, that can only get you so far. But when you're fucking up match moves in the match, then that becomes a problem. And the more common it becomes more of a bigger issue after a while. So she got booed and everybody's upset about it. But I blame WWE. I blame WWE for that, because if this girl's not ready for the in-ring action, don't put her in the ring. Quit putting her in the ring. Let her train with Natty and TJ. Let her go to the dungeon. Send her back down to the performance center. Have her work the live events down there in NXT. Quit having her wrestle these people on the main roster, on main roster television. Same thing they did with Dom and his championship run last year. They could do the same thing with this girl. Have her show up to manage Alpha Academy on Mondays, and then have her train, perhaps work NXT, work a little 3-minute match with some of the other girls or with a vet or something like that, and that's it. At that point, she's getting her feet wet. She's not underneath a big magnifying glass. She's not underneath a big scope. So she can get away with having a three little match contest with Kalani Jordan or Izzy Dame or Kiana. You know what I'm saying? She can get away with that because it ain't that long. The scope ain't gonna be on them too long, and you can get in and get out. But instead, Triple H is just insistent on putting this girl in the ring at live events, where sometimes they have some time to go the distance. And when somebody's green, they get a chance to get overexposed. Or just exposed, period, for not being good. You know, so I just think they need to stop and just send her to NXT on Tuesdays and let her work NXT. Let her train the rest of the week. Let her work some of those house shows over at NXT. And I think she'll be better off for it. But just throwing her out there and let's watch her drown, that's not going to help this girl at all. And for the wrestlers, I'm sorry, when you pay a ticket to see, you know, professionals do professional things, I'm sorry, you have the right to cheer and boo. You do. I'm sorry. Just like if the Knicks, I'm a Knicks fan, right? If Jalen Brunson starts having these stinker games all of a sudden, he has this hot streak, like, boo, we're going to start booing this dude. We're going to start booing this dude because he's been playing his ass off, been looking really good, and all of a sudden he starts stinking up the joint. You're going to get booed. And it happened to Julius Randle. Julius Randle had a good year a few years back, and then the last 2 years he was having stinker seasons, you know, and he got booed for it. I'm sorry, when you have money and investment in something, you expect to see, you know, like I said, everybody is entitled to an off day. Sometimes you're off. It happens. But when you go on a continuous streak of stinking it up on a consistent basis, then yeah, you got the right to voice your displeasure with that. So to all these wrestlers, I get it. You want to stick up for Maxine and everything like that. And like I said, I feel bad for her. I really do. Because it feels like they're just throwing her out there without realizing or reading the fucking room. But you gotta see what the fans are coming from too. You know what I'm saying? You gotta see where they're coming from as well. If every match this girl is in and people are paying a ticket to see her stink up the joint every time, then you got the right to boo that. I'm sorry, you do. You do. I wouldn't tell her to, you know, unalive herself because of that. Now, that's too far. That's way too fucking far. But, you know, that wasn't great. You know, boo, that was not good. You know, there's nothing wrong with that, I think. And look, hey, either she can either have that incentive to get better or, you know, do like everybody else, or not like everybody else, but do like most people and just blame the world for not getting better, or blame the world for this, that, and the other. But at the end of the day, they gotta help this girl help them, you know. And I think taking her off of TV, or not even taking her off TV, like I said, let her manage Alpha Academy, but send her back down to NXT and let her wrestle down there, let her learn a little bit more down there. And there's nothing wrong with that. I think you can get away with that. But quit putting her on main roster television to wrestle. But let's get into NXT. Ilya Dragunov is in the ring cutting a promo. Came out, called out Carmelo Hayes. He had security. insecurity between him and Dragunov and this, that, and the other. And he doesn't want to get in the ring with Dragunov until he sees a contract. Oh my god. And Dragunov, you know, you knew what was going to happen. Dragunov, Captain America, the security. And, you know, just to show that he can. And, you know, they looked at each other. So I thought that was really cool. Ava bumped into Gigi Dolan, who wanted to discuss something. And, you know, they go into Ava's office. Jada Parker's there. She wants to talk to Ava first. And they get into it. And, oh my god. The bakery was out in this segment. But yeah, they had a match between the two. But I'll get into that a little bit later on. Kalani Jordan took on Kiana James. Kiana James and Izzy Dane was targeting Kalani Jordan for weeks now. They've been talking about her in promos and stuff like that. And they finally had the little match to kind of start this thing off between the two. I thought this was fine for what they gave us. I thought this was a nice little showing between the two. I like Kiana James a lot. I like Izzy Dane too. Izzy Dane's got a lot of tude, and I fucks with it heavy. Izzy is invited to the cookout. That's all I gotta say. She's invited to the cookout. And Kiana James is a sister, so she's already invited. And so is Kalani. Kalani's cool too. But they went back and forth until Izzy ran interference for Kalani and Kiana Jordan. Or Kiana Jordan, good lord. Kiana James was able to take advantage with the inverted overdrive to win the match. Then we saw, you know, footage from Roxanne Perez attacking Jakara Jackson after the show last week. She was pissed off that she was taking a shower while Lash Legend answered Lyra Valkyria's call last week. So I thought that was pretty funny. The Good Brothers versus Idris and Malik Blade. I thought Idris Onofre was hurt, but good to see that he's not. Not too much here. Just basic tag match. And it was just a win for Gallows and Anderson to get, which they do. Over Malik Blade and Idris Onofre. I told Monty a couple weeks ago, I need them to stop beating these guys, man. These guys are really... Malik Blade and Idris Onofre, they're really, really good. And I just think they need a gimmick. They need a gimmick. They need some character. They need some branding. And I think once they get that, they'll be on their way to being something good. But Chase U came down. They got in the Good Brothers grill. And they're going to teach them about karma. And... yeah, they got into their faces, and you know, it was time for an Andre Chase University Styles ass whooping. But Nathan Frazier and Axiom, they interrupted, and they said they want the Good Brothers, they want a piece of them. And then the baby faces, you know, they're going at it and shit like that. And then LWO out of nowhere just fucking hit dives into Gallows and Anderson, and it's a big schmaz until Gallows and Anderson get up out of there. And Corbin and Breaker, you know, they're up on top of that stand, that little platform stand, and you know, everybody's looking at the chaos in the tag team division. And Obafemi strolls up into Ava Rain's office, asks who's his next victim gonna be, and she says that she's gonna figure it out, and then Dragunov just steps up to him. I'm like, holy shit. The Wolverine versus the Hulk. Holy shit. That's the only thing that stepped into my mind. Because I'm like, oh my god, I kind of want to see that now. I want to see that now. Roxanne Perez had a match with Jakara Jackson. Fine little showing for both of them. More so Roxanne. And, you know, Roxanne wins the match with the arm... the crossface. With the arm trapped. So, that's something. Thea Hale was talking about her date with Riley Osborne, and Riley Osborne just wanted to be friends with her, and Thea Hale was expressing her disappointment. Riley Osborne liked the old Thea Hale. He didn't like what's going on with her now, her trying to be cool with JC Jane and all that shit. And JC Jane tells her that the old Thea Hale was lame and ain't for her. And all of a sudden, Chase U shouldn't exist anymore? You know? Or wouldn't exist anymore if it wasn't for her. Which is true. Which is true. I put shouldn't in my notes, good lord. Oh, God, what the fuck is wrong with me? But but yeah, no, they're continuing to tell that story there of trying to, J.C. Jane trying to influence Thea Hill to be bad again. And she's hanging around with Fallon Henley, who's going to be the rock to all this. I don't know what's going to happen here, but evidently J.C. Jane, you know, is still a heel. She's got Jasmine Nix underneath her thumb. So I think something there with Jasmine Nix and J.C. Jane is going to be moving forward. Until Jasmine Nix is, I guess, ready to be in the ring, I guess. So that's fine. I got no problems with that. Yeah, nah, and good lord. Kiana James and Izzy Dean, they kind of rolled up bragging about their win and this, that, and the other. And J.C. Jane, you know, praises Kiana James for her attitude and this, that, and the other. And kind of mocked Thea for taking advice from Thea Hale, or from Fallon Henley, excuse me. And then the girls all walked off together, and fucking Thea Hale is left with boo boo face. So, yeah. Dijak came out for his entrance. Then the Wolf Dogs and the Good Brothers have a little confrontation and this, that, and the other. So that should be interesting when they have their match. I'm not sure if the Good Brothers are the team to get the belts from the Wolf Dogs whenever they're ready to cuff those bad boys up, but I'm not saying no to it. I'm not saying no to it because I think the Good Brothers can help work with some of the younger teams down there. So I see the benefits to this. I really do. But Dijak had a match with Luca Cristofino. Not much of a match. But he had a little something-something. And Dijak won. You know, feast your eyes, and that was it. Joe Gacy came out wearing the straight jacket a little bit. And they went back and forth. And Luca Cristofino, for whatever reason, slipped the crowbar in the steel steps. And Tony D'Angelo and Stacks watching this, by the way. So I'm not sure. Are they finally going to do what a lot of us have been speculating they could do, or been asking for them to do, rather? And having Luca Cristofino be with the family? So yeah, Stacks and D'Angelo have a little conversation. So Lyra Valkyria came out, and she wished Shotzi Blackheart a speedy recovery, and she said that she still owes her a championship match. Lash Legend, you know, she praised her for showing up and showing out and stepping up, and she brought out Tatum Paxley. Slipping and sliding over the goddamn barricade and everything like that. And then Lyra Valkyria tells Tatum Paxley that she spoke to Ava Raine and they made some calls, and that they'd be taking on Kabuki Warriors for the Women's Tag Team Championships at Roblox. So yeah, that's good. Some progression there. Rich Holland came out, cut a promo. Nothing really much to it. And then the man that has three faces, you know, all the messages appear on the Titantron and this, that, and the other. So, oh my God, it's time for the big reveal. And then the mystery attacker hits fucking, hits goddamn Rich Holland with the chair, takes his hood down, and it's Sean fucking Spears. Oh my God. Now, let me just say this for a second. Sean Spears is coming off two prior runs. A WWE run that was failed. It was a failure of a run. An AEW, which was also a failure of a run. Okay? They've been doing these promos. And by the way, that's not an indictment on Sean Spears when I say he had failures of runs in NXT. Or not in NXT, but the WWE main roster in AEW. The creative people, they just couldn't get it together when it came to this guy. But they've been teasing this mysterious person for a while. And my thing is that you're getting us hyped up for Sean Spears? Somebody who's in, he's got to be in his 40s at this point. If I'm going to be 30 in June, Sean Spears has got to be in his 40s. He's been around forever. So this guy's got to be in his 40s. So he's already, as far as like the timeline of NXT currently as it's constructed, you have a lot of 20-year-olds coming out of college in certain cases. You have a lot of people on this roster who are vets looking for their call-ups soon. But Sean Spears, who was like 40 years old, you got him. He's the guy you've been hyping up. And that was my problem. My thing is, instead of hyping Sean Spears up, because he's so over and everything like that. He was over in NXT. He was. But instead of hyping him up for weeks, why couldn't you just bring him out and have him do what he was going to do anyways? Why not just bring him out without the hype and bash somebody upset that bash fucking Rich Holland with the chair anyways? Instead of just wasting our time with the teasers, because it's not like he's coming off a hot run where, ah, damn, all this great momentum and this, that, and the other. Nah, they would have popped anyways because he's an NXT black and gold legend. He is. For a guy that didn't do much in NXT but have great matches and shit like that, he was over like a motherfucker. So he's an NXT black and gold legend. They would have popped off of that alone. I'm just saying, we could have did without all the hype for the last couple of weeks. You getting me hyped up for fucking Sean Spears? That's twice now, Shawn Michaels. First Reggie and now Sean Spears? Come on, man. Come on, dog. But the positive to this is that, while I just said something about his age, but the positive to this is that you can have Sean Spears. He's a perfect player coach because he's a guy that could teach the younger guys how to work a little bit more better, how to flourish with the WWE style for all it's worth. And he's a good, reliable guy to go out there and give anybody a good match. So that's the flip side to it. I'm just not crazy about the hype surrounding his arrival. That's all. With the vignettes and shit like that. That's the part that had me tight. I told Monty, it better have been somebody A, that we haven't seen in a while, or B, it better be some hot prospect that has a great gimmick. And that's neither. You know what I'm saying? We've just seen Sean Spears, but on the indies, racking up Canadian indie championships and shit. So I'm just like, ugh. Forgive me if the hype wasn't worth the vignettes, or if the reveal wasn't worth the hype, in my opinion. But that's just my opinion. And a lot of people were like, well, you know, they were trying to challenge me on X about it. Well, if you feel like you were let down, then that's your problem. And I'm like, yeah, I know. That's why I'm saying what I said. All that hype for Sean Spears. Like, I know. I'm voicing my disappointment, you idiot. God damn. Oh, this is crazy. But Brooks Jensen, for whatever reason, I don't know what kind of death match this motherfucker got, but he wanted a piece of Obafemi, and he's going to get it, I think. And it's going to be bad news when he gets him. So that we got that to look forward to. Then Lexus King makes his entrance. Lexus King and Von Wagner had a match. Von Wagner beat him after Robert Stone ran some interference. Von Wagner beat this man who's a foot shorter than him. He beat him with a schoolboy pin. Are you fucking kidding me? What the fuck is that? I thought that was weird. Yeah, then they had a little smaz after the match. And fucking Robert Stone attacked fucking Lexus King. And then Lexus King took a jab them with a back fist, and they hit the coronation on him. It was a straight jacket neck breaker. That's fine. The Kabuki Warriors cut a little vignette on Lyra and Tatum, so I thought that was nice. Then all the girls in the locker room was talking about the match. Jada Parker said she was going to whip Gigi Dolan's ass. She said something about Lyra, Valkyrie, and Tatum Patsy getting embarrassed by the goddamn Kabuki Warriors. Ariana Grace stepping up, saying that they shouldn't solve everything with violence and this, that, the other. So, and everybody just dumps on her. So that was kind of funny. Dijak had a little confrontation with Ava Rain backstage. She was voicing her displeasure with what he did. And Joe Gacy just rolls up as the cameraman and just punches fucking Dijak in the face, and they start fighting all over again. Then we had Gigi Dolin and Jada Parker. Miss Parker! They had a little match. It was fine. Whatever. Ariana Grace wants them to stop fighting for a reason. And, yeah, Jada hit Gigi with a sliding forearm and wins the match. And then Grace is just, you know, just trying to keep the peace and just crying at Gigi Dolin about getting along. I thought that was Ariana Grace continues to do good character work. Then we have Charlie Dempsey representing new Catch Quarter Crew, whatever the fuck. that's too much. They gotta shorten that or some shit, bro. Why couldn't they just be Catch Point 2.0 or some shit like that, like I pitched? Well, this long ass no quarter catch crew. Come on, man. That's too much. Come on. But anyways, and it's not even like the initials are not good initials that roll with each other either. It's not like it's NOC or NOD or DOD or JD or nothing like that. It's NQCC. Like, that's not smooth. Like, what the fuck? But anyways, Charlie Dempsey and Noam Dar had a good Heritage Cup match. I'm not a fan of these British round rules. It just feels like as good as the match gets started, like, it just, all these rounds kind of fuck it up for me a little bit. But Dempsey finally won his first piece of gold, or his first piece of anything. And, you know, he won with a Bridge and Dragon suplex, which I liked. So, yeah. Usually the number game usually benefited Noam Dar here, but I like that the tables turned here in order for Dempsey to really get this match too, by having the no quarter catch crew run interference on Dempsey's behalf in certain points of this matchup. So I like that, and I think they should continue with this feud a little bit. The only thing is that Noam Dar is kind of outnumbered, even though, I mean, shit, Jakari Jackson and Lash Legend are taller than like some of these guys on this team anyways. Which, you know, I don't know, you be the judge on that, but but yeah, I don't know. I think they should keep this going between maybe Noam Dar and Oro Mented, you know, try to square up with like Kemp and something. I look, they should try to do something with Noam Dar, trying to get this cut back, but showing that he has a hill to climb in order to do that. And I think if you do that, that might turn them babyface, but I don't know. I just think that could be a good little story since he's been obsessed with it, and he lost it before, and it showed how bad off he was when he didn't have it. So I don't know. I'm just thinking off the top of my dome. Sean Spears got interviewed in the parking lot. He said that he liked Rich Holland, but he's been lying to himself, and now the truth is pain, and he feels that pain, and that's why he attacked him, and he'll see him next week. So putting Sean Spears to work right out of the gate, huh? Roxanne Perez did not want an interview, so she left, she dipped. Dragunov and Carmelo Hayes had a little meeting in the ring, and it was interrupted by Tony D'Angelo, and Carmelo Hayes told Tony to stuff it. And, you know, Tony D'Angelo's like, I'm here to do business. He's the only man that can solve this issue. And he says he's got respect for both of them. He likes tricks too. And then, just really just selling the fact that Tony D'Angelo had to take a little bit of a back seat to Carmelo Hayes and Bron Breakker, you know, telling him that, you know, Melo had a year and he's still stuck on his title. And, yeah, D'Angelo pretty much says that he wants a championship match at Standard Deliver. And, you know, Dragunov said that he respects Tony D'Angelo for working, or willing to work for the position, rather. And, well, Carmelo Hayes and Tony D'Angelo will have a match next week, and the winner will fight Ilya Dragunov at Standard Deliver. So I guess Tony D will be winning that matchup, right? Because I think we all know what's going to happen next week. At this point, I think Trick Williams might show his head up and decides he wants to whoop that Trick. So, okay. So we got that. Now it's NXT. Nice NXT to build for, you know, the Roblox show, which is next week, I do believe, the 5th, right? Do believe that's the 5th. So yeah, we got that to look forward to next week, and I'm all for it. I love when NXT put together these little special shows of old pay-per-views and shit like that on TV. I think it's some really good stuff, and I'm all for it. The NXT is one of the funnest shows on television, despite not having the most in-ring action, quote unquote, as far as like what they used to have back in the day. Back in Black and Gold, it was just match for the most part. But I really respect the fact that they make a fun, compelling show to watch from week to week with a lot of characters and a lot of other shit. So yeah, I'm definitely good with that. But Dynamite, we had to go home Dynamite for Revolution. And I dug what I saw. I liked what I saw. you know, Adam Page said that, you know, him being on crutches doesn't look good for his chances to wrestle in the match on this weekend. And excuse me. He thought it was BS that it was a triple threat match and it should have been a singles match and this, that, and the other. And Swerve comes out and kind of mocks Hangman Page there. Suffering an unfortunate fate. You can't escape fate or destiny. Samoa Joe comes out. You know, he mocking him for talking about destiny. And a lot of lies being told and this, that, and the other. And Samoa Joe's the real man. He's the real champ. And they just going back and forth, you know, some shots were fired about Samoa Joe doing commentary in a poncho, this, that, and the other. And then Hangman Page reveals that it was a ruse, and then he hits Swerve in the back with the crutch. And Page yells that Swerve won't be champion, Joe won't be champion, Page will be the champion. That Matthew and Nicholas Jackson talked to Renee about how their conversation with Ric Flair went, and they said it went great. And they want to thank Sting in person and invites the cameras to follow them with the bats in their hand. FTR and Eddie Kingston, excuse me, versus the Blackpool Combat Club. Fine match. These guys, all six of these guys are pros. So, and while, you know, Kingston really doesn't do it for me in the ring like that, one thing Kingston does so well is that he sells a lot verbally and physically and emotionally. So I appreciate that about Kingston. I'm not the biggest Dax and Cash fan. Well, mostly Dax. Cries a little too much for me. A little too emotional for me. But I like Cash. Stone Cold Cash, man. My man be whipping out Glocks on people. But but yeah, I thought they had a good match here. And Moxley and Brian and Claudio, I thought they looked good. I thought they looked good here. And Danielson choked him out with a triangle choke. He choked Eddie Kingston out. And I thought, like I said, these six guys went out there and they had a pro man's match. And I thought it was really good for these guys. Will Ospreay comes out. And you know, he's here to work full time in AEW. He reminded everybody that didn't see it that he beat Omega in Canada. He pinned Orange Cassidy and he pinned Chris Jericho. And Don Callis comes out and he reminds everybody how much he did for Ospreay. And the questions whether the two members of his family could get along with each other. And him and Takashita, they'll have a match this weekend, which I think has the potential to be the match of the show, honestly. Because Takashita and Ospreay are just that damn good. But Callis goes on to say that the real winners of this matchup will be the Don Callis family at the end of the day. And they shake hands. So that's pretty much it. Orange Cassidy had a match for the International Championship against Nick Wayne. It was all right. Orange Cassidy wins. Yeah, whatever. Good action, but we know damn well he wasn't losing the match. Cassidy wasn't losing that match. Then Roger Strong jumps on Orange Cassidy after the match with Trent and Rocky. They have Orange Cassidy's back. And the Bang Bang Scissor Gang is in the back to cut a little promo. Fine. Nothing. Max Caster fumbled and bumbled the rap the other day. He was acting a little strange in the back. A lot of people seem to think that, he might be turning heel or something like that in the future. I'm not sure what's going on. But I know Max Caster did lose his father recently, so maybe that's bothering him a little bit. Then we had a Big Mama Meat match. We had Chris Statlander and Sky Blue out there, and they had a little match. Fine for what it was. Stokely and Julia Hart, distracting the referee, this, that, and the other. Hart hit Statlander in the head with her championship, and Sky Blue won with the Code Blue for the win. And Stokely was pissed off with Willow Nightingale, because Willow Nightingale is obviously, she's a good two-shoes. She don't want to cheat or nothing like that. But yeah, Stokely was pissed off. So they're going to be doing something there with Statlander. Statlander didn't seem happy either, But okay, we got something. We got something going on here. Something always better than nothing. So I'm going to wait and see what they do here. Do they have Statlander finally whip Stokely Carmichael's ass? Or is Statlander going to turn heel and go with Stokely Carmichael? So I guess we'll have to see. Lionheart Chris Jericho versus Atlantis Jr. Jericho is trying here in this matchup. So I'll give him that. It was fine. Nothing crazy. Nothing great, but not bad either. Chris Jericho won with the Lion Tamer, and Atlantis Sr. threw in the towel. Throwing the damn towel! But yeah, it was just a fine little match. It was fine. And Atlantis Sr. and Jericho got in the ring, got in each other's faces, and then they gave each other a hug, so nothing much. Then the Bucks came out to the ring. Darby Allin was wearing a Sting mask, and that made them paranoid because there was a lot of people wearing Sting masks. And like old classic Sting spot is where Sting, for whatever reason, sits in the crowd with the fucking Sting mask on, takes it off, and then Sting with the full blown face paint and all underneath. So I like that they played off that. They had a couple of guys in Sting masks right there in the front row. And the Young Bucks being paranoid, they flipped them all off until, Darby just pounced on them and shit like that. So that was cool. They were beating down Darby and shit like that. And they were going to do the EVP trigger. They hit it, and then they waved to somebody to come out. And it was Ric Flair. And Ric Flair got in the ring. Nicholas Jackson, gave Flair a bat, but he poked Matthew in the eye, and he threw some gingerly chops and punches to Nicholas, and Matthew gave Ric Flair a low blow. He fisted his cock, and they put the boots to Ric Flair, and then Sting's music hit, and the Bucks went up to meet him, but Sting came down classic WCW style from the rafters, and then fucking they went at him. And Sting went and got him really good with the bat. They did the spot where Sting swung his bat at one of the Bucks' bat, and it stunned his hand, so he dropped his bat, and Sting got him. So I thought that was pretty cool, because anybody that's ever been stunned by another bat, when you hold a bat, you get hit with another bat, it stuns your hand, and it's a sensation that is very, very shocking. Definitely, that was some good shit. I like that. And Darby got him with the coffin drop and the scorpion death drop to Nicholas to close it all out. So I like this. It was Dynamite last night seemed like more of a story-centric show, believe it or not. They were really hyping up the pay-per-view for this weekend. So I'm good with that. I like that. I like that. And Sting, very poetic for him to come down from the rafters like that, WCW style, on his last show on a Turner Broadcasting station. So I thought that was really, really cool. Really good shit from Dynamite last night. I thought it was some really good stuff. So yeah, I had no problems with that. I had no problems with what I saw this week from wrestling. Just a couple of stuff that irked me a little bit on Raw, but nothing major that destroyed my enjoyment of it. I thought we had a fine little week of wrestling here. And what I'm going to do now is I'm going to talk about AEW Revolution for this weekend, because we got that coming up. And you got a full-blown card. Of course, you got Rampage. I do believe they taped Rampage last night. I know they taped Collision last night as well. So, and rightfully so. They have to tape that ahead of time, because I don't think they're going to be trying to do a pay-per-view the night before. I mean, a live show before the pay-per-view and risk anybody getting injured. So, we're going to start from the bottom and work our way to the top. We got an All-Star Scramble match, which originally was supposed to have been the Meat Madness match. But we got an All-Star Scrambling match. An All-Star Scramble match. The winner will get an AEW Championship match in the future. Chris Jericho, Wardlow, Powerhouse Hobbs, Lance Archer, Hook, Brian Cage, Magnus, and Dante Martin. Who the fuck is Magnus? Is that somebody from CMLL? I'm exposing myself. I'm like, okay, yeah, somebody from CMLL. Okay, all right. Yeah, I don't watch CMLL. I haven't watched CMLL, guys, since and I've admitted this. I haven't watched CMLL since Rush and his family got fired from CMLL. So I haven't seen CMLL in quite some time. But I think the winner of this match has to be Wardlow, right? I mean, he's the only one with a story in connection with the world championship. That was the goal of the Undisputed Kingdom, was to get the championship. And when Cole is clear, you know, Wardlow hands it to him. So I'm pretty sure, I'm not expecting Wardlow to win the title, but it seems like it would make more sense to go with Wardlow, right? I could be wrong, but I think Wardlow's getting this. Otherwise, because Jericho's not doing too much right now. Hobbs ain't doing too much, but walking behind Don Callis and looking mean. He looks great. He looks fantastic. Archer hasn't been on anything to my recollection in quite some time. Hook just had a match with Samoa Joe. Brian Cage is a loser. Magnus is here for a guest spot. And Dante Martin is in a tag team. So, like, I don't understand his involvement either. But it is what it is. This should be a fun little match, but I got Wardlow winning. Then we got a tag team match. FTR versus the Blackpool Combat Club. John Moxley and Claudio Castagnoli, or Castiglione, as Monty likes to say. I think that the Blackpool Combat Club loses this one here. And FTR wins this. Because they've already lost to them a couple of times. So I think FTR gets a win here on pay-per-view in a good match. Then we got Christian Cage with the Patriarchy, Killswitch, Mother Wayne, and Nick Wayne versus Daniel Garcia for the TNT Championship. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that Daniel Garcia wins this match after Adam Copeland cost Christian the match. So, my prediction, Daniel Garcia. Will Ospreay versus Konosuke Takeshita, which I'm predicting to be a match of the night already. Because Takeshita, my man can't have a bad match, all right? And Ospreay, he can't have a bad match either. So I think this is going to be match of the weekend, match of the night. But I say Ospreay wins because they're going to get him on a campaign to go after the world championship, especially around All In. So I think Ospreay is going to win, but it would not surprise me. They did a bit here where Takeshita won, and he won because Don Callis don't like the fact that Will Ospreay thinks he's bigger than the family. I wouldn't rule that out, but I just think Will Ospreay, for where he's going to go and where he's projected to go, I think Will Ospreay wins this matchup, though. Then we got Brian Danielson versus Claudio Castagnoli versus Eddie Kingston for the Continental Crown. You know, the combined championship of the AEW Continental Championship, the Ring of Honor World Championship, and the Never Strong, the New Japan Pro Wrestling Strong Openweight Championship. Good Lord, that's in the Never Openweight. But yeah, that's on the line. If Danielson loses, he has to shake Eddie Kingston's hand. Eddie Kingston will win this matchup. I don't see Danielson winning the Continental Crown. And I think he'll shake Eddie Kingston's hand. He would finally show him the respect. He's beaten Kingston and embarrassed him a few times. That one time on Collision, that was great. He called Eddie Kingston a bum. And then he passed him out last night. So I think Kingston finally gets his win over Danielson at a big stage. And Danielson is going to shake his hand. So then we have Timeless Toni Storm with Mariah May and Luther in her corner, taking on Deonna Purrazzo for the AEW Women's Championship. I think that Toni Storm will retain, and I think she'll be seeing a debuting Mercedes Moné real soon after that. So yeah, I think that's where we're going with this. Toni Storm is gonna win. Samoa Joe versus Hangman Adam Page versus Swerve Strickland, 3-way championship match for the AEW World Championship. I think that Samoa Joe will retain. He's not giving Samoa Joe a short run with the championship. No way, right? No way. I say give Joe a couple more months, because I do want Swerve to win the belt, but give Joe a couple more months to breathe. Then you have Swerve beat him for it. Around maybe double or nothing, maybe? So. But, yeah, I think Samoa Joe's retaining anyways. Because I think Swerve and Hangman are going to cancel each other out, and Samoa Joe's going to take advantage. Then we have Orange Cassidy defending the AEW International Championship against Roderick Strong. I think Roderick Strong wins the International Championship here. And Cassidy has the belt for a second time. He's not doing that much with it. Although I will say, I give him credit. He did an indie show a couple weeks ago and he defended the belt. And I thought that was really good. And I think do more of that. Do more of that with this championship. And just show clips of it on Dynamite. Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't think that's a miss at all. But I think Roderick Strong wins the championship here to continue the prophecy that Adam Cole set out. So yeah, I think Strong wins the belt here. And then the main event, Sting's last match, his retirement match, the Young Bucks, Matthew and Nicholas Jackson, challenging Sting and Darby Allin with Ric Flair in their corner. For the AEW World Tag Team Championships. This is going to be insane. While myself, you know, the Young Bucks being Sting's last opponent, I mean, it was Sting's choice. He had a say in the matter. But me, myself, personally, I probably wouldn't pick them, but we're here now. And the Young Bucks, I think, are going to do whatever it takes to make Sting go out with a bang. They're going to put on a match like they only know how to. And Sting and Darby are going to bring it on their end as well. And I think this is going to be a fun match for Sting to go out on. I think Sting and Darby Allin will win, and I think they're going to vacate the titles afterwards. I think Sting and Darby Allin will win. I don't think Tony Khan is going to let Sting go out on his back, breathing hard and heavy, looking up at the rafters, and that's the last of Sting we see. I don't think so. I think Sting is going to go out a winner, and I think that they're going to vacate the championships on Dynamite. Maybe Sting comes out and gives a retirement speech on Dynamite or something. Or they do a pre-tape. And he gives a little speech in the back. And him and Darby just give it up. Or maybe Sting encourages Darby Allin to pick a partner or something like that. And they go about their business. But I just don't see Sting going out on his back. Tony Khan, to his credit, has treated Sting really, really well when it comes to the booking and everything like that. And just in general, he's treated Sting very well, so I don't see him letting Sting go out on his back. So, yeah, I got Sting and Darby winning. So, yeah, that's AEW Revolution. I'm looking forward to the show. I'm looking forward to Ospreay and Takeshita the most. Toni Storm and Deonna Purrazzo should be a great treat of a wrestling match, a women's championship match. So that's going to be good too. I expect FTR and the Blackpool Combat Club to have a nice match too. And yeah, I think we're gonna get some nice moments here on this show. So yeah, that's pretty much it for me, period. This is your boy RJ the Brooklyn Savage. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I'm just gonna get it out of the way early, but happy birthday to Monty. Monty turns 35 years old tomorrow on March the 1st. Nah, not really. He's not really turning 35 years old. But Monty's getting older. He's getting up there. Happy birthday to my boy, my partner, my brose, my little bro. I'm happy for him. I'm happy to get a chance to do these shows with him. I know it's been kind of rocky lately because of, you know, he's working. He's working and he's doing what he's got to do for himself and his family. So y'all got to respect that, right? I got to respect that, right? So that's why I'm doing this solo dolo today. But anyways, this is your boy, RJ the Brooklyn Savage. I'm catching you guys later. Peace out. Hope you guys enjoyed everything.